Ah, crap. Hey there, Fish and Frank, we're back with the Area Fishing Report. We got Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Brian Ball is our guest appearance today. Let's get right into it, and we were talking about Peace River and tarping up the Peace River. Anything else going on upriver?
Go ahead.
Alright, I got a couple of friends that live up that way. They fish it, you know, 2-3 times a week in the afternoon, and they're still, you know, catching good amounts of snook, obviously, with all that fresh water coming down through there, flushing everything to the tarp, and the snook love that just the same. Catching some nice redfish up around like Harbor Heights area, some of those deep points and whatnot on an incoming or outgoing tide, just moving water. They've been having some good success.
Very cool. Now, if you're coming around I-75, anybody heard anything I-75?
Last report I got of that, there's quite a few small tarpon around there. I know this is 3 weeks ago, they were catching some monster black drum off the, you know, wooden planks there in the middle, right, in the midsection there. Just fishing blue crab, cut it in half, right on the bottom.
Well, as far as the tarpon go, I was talking to a guy yesterday who lives right by there, and giant schools of tarpon going through his house. You know those, just north on the Punta Gorda side, that little canal that cuts in where all those houses are?
Mm-hmm.
Loaded up with tarpon.
That's awesome.
Nobody goes there.
Yeah.
It is completely unknown, completely forgotten.
Until now.
So, he shouldn't have told me.
Right.
He just told 16,000 people. So, anyway, but figuring out how to get there. And if your boat isn't skinny,
yeah,
if you have one of the major name brand flats boats, I won't bust their chops on it. You ain't getting there. No, you better have a Texas skiff or some flat bottom something. Yep. Or another. You ain't getting there. You get a V, you don't go there. Anyway, coming down 41. What's going on 41?
Kind of the same scenario. There's been some juvenile tarpon there, a few oddball black drum, incidental trout. The snook have been doing fairly well, but most of them are smaller snook. It's mostly been a nighttime bite for those, or first early light.
Yeah.
You know, not gangbusters, but okay.
Port Charlotte canals. What's going on in the Port Charlotte canals?
Feel like it stays loaded up with jackerval and the smaller tarpon.
Here's a question. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, would you have said that?
No, sir.
Is it, the only thing that makes sense is for one time. We have the worst parks and recreation department on the planet. I mean, they couldn't plan something. I mean, they put in these roundarounds up on 41. I can't even park my pickup there. If I don't take the car, I can't park there because they didn't make the spaces long enough for a vehicle.
Right.
And everything they do is wrong. They screwed up East Spring Lake. They screwed up West Spring Lake. They've screwed up every single park they've touched. 41 looks like a disaster. They're ruining Edgewater. I mean, how did they ever... All I can think is that Charlotte County had nothing to do with the reformatting of the canals.
Right.
Because it works.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's doing amazing. The spillways are coming alive. The canals are coming alive.
Yeah.
More water
the,
movement.
The jacks, main thing, like a couple years ago, why there wasn't hardly any of them around, when we had that freeze along with the snook, but the jacks just got wiped out by it. I mean...
Yeah, but they've been in PGI for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
In good numbers.
Absolutely.
Not in Port Charlotte.
Right.
Now they've come in Port Charlotte. All I can think of is that since they redid the waterways and made the water flow better coming out of there,
mm-hmm,
that's what's doing it. It's,
yeah,
got to be.
Could
it's the
be.
Only thing that changed.
Yeah.
You know, direct observation science, you know, Occam's razor, simplest explanation.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway, going on, a lot of snook still back over there?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't spend too much time up that way this time of the year. September, I'll fish it a little bit, but I have friends that make their living up this way, and they've been doing just fine on good-sized snook, along with, as Robert said, a lot of smaller males. But that seems to be the trend throughout the harbor. A lot of those big fish, you know, go offshore to spawn, and then they come back in and kind of stage up around the passes and whatnot. That's where you find most of your bigger
All right. Well, getting from there, I've heard some decent stories of big mangrove snappers around Port Charlotte Beach Complex, some nice snook over by the boat ramp. But coming around, getting up into the Myakka Cutoff and the Myakka River, what's going on up there, guys?
Up in the Cutoff, I'm actually hearing some decent reports of some sand bream. I don't know if they're getting pushed out of all those little creeks and canals or what, but there's been some guys getting some more consistent incidental catches of them. A few mangrove snapper. Heard of a couple pompano up on the north end up there towards Tippy Canoe. Oddball redfish. Still some snook in there scattered around, but not gangbusters. Weather's been so overcast and rainy that some of the guys have been tucking back in there in the Cutoff fishing a little bit more because it's not a steam bath this past week. You know, once that sun comes out, it gets hard to stay in there for very long because there's no breeze back in there.
Yeah, it gets hot.
It gets to be a bummer.
Yeah, it's real hot.
But moving up towards Eljo Bean's kind of been pretty good for the last week or so, and it's just because that little microenvironment that we've talked about a lot of times with the two bridges and the two piers being so close to a pinch point in the river. It holds a lot of fish, so there's been some good mangroves there, especially in the morning and at night. Tarpon bite there has been fair. They have a variety of tarpon from 10 pounds to 100 pounds, so just being a matter of getting the lucky big fish. A lot of the snook there that are still there are pretty much smaller guys. There's a few bigger ones, but the majority of them are the small little guys that just haven't gone out to spawn yet or not old enough to spawn. The trout have been there. Not good numbers, but the ones that have been being caught are a little bit better quality.
All right. Going down the west wall, I'm hearing a lot of reports on the west wall of different fish. And this time of year, the west wall has a huge amount of fresh water on it, but it also gets a huge amount of stuff being pushed down the Myakka River and the Peace River. When you look at a map of the harbor, the Myakka River is kind of almost straight up off the top, and the Peace River is a hard hook to the right. As that water comes down the Myakka on the outgoing tides, you have so much coming out of the Peace River, it hits it, deflects 80% of it along the west wall as it flows down. So it does get, you'll see gar at this time of year all the way down to Cape Hayes. We're going to see a Mayan cichlids over there on the west side. It's predominantly fresh water at this point, but the saltwater fish don't seem to mind that.
No, I mean, the red fishing's phenomenal over there this time of year, especially on the higher outgoing tide seems to be just gangbusters.
If you can get there halfway through the incoming tide and get your set up, you know, so you're there an hour or two before the tide change and wait for the tide change, when that tide starts running out, those fish really start turning on.
Yep.
Is that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally. All those little creeks that come out of Rotunda and all that back in through there, it's endless.
Yeah, pinfish have been working real good over there lately, and cut bait's starting to pick up a little bit more too with the redfish. And then out on the flats there's been a few bonnet heads, oddball cobia, and a few tarpon on the outside edge of the bar. So you kind of have a mixed gamut. If you don't want to beat the bushes, you can just kind of drift along that bar there and get a little bit of other varieties of stuff.
So, getting down around Cape Hayes, what's been going on with Cape Hayes? Right there off the point, it's what I think is unusual, or what's really cool about Cape Hayes at this time of year, is you can get that separation of church and state right there, salt water, fresh water, because all that water's coming down that west side, but then you get a good push of an incoming tide out of Boca, and you can really see blue water, brown water.
Absolutely.
Right in front of those areas, it's usually a distinct change in it.
There was a good number of Spanish mackerel there over the last couple of weeks. There's plenty of the smaller maggot bait, as we call it. Just the juvenile white bait is everywhere. And, you know, the snapper and the mackerel love that. I heard a couple different reports of some big sharks, some big sandbar sharks being caught in there in the bat ray schools. Pretty interesting stuff there, actually.
Okay, now go back onto that again. Kind of touched on it, but they're kind of interesting. What was that?
The sandbar sharks, big sandbar sharks. Sometimes they get
sandbars or bulls.
No, they look like a bull shark, but much more pronounced dorsal fin, and their pec fins are much longer at sandbars.
Positive on that one.
100%.
Okay. And which one has the ridge by...
Sandbar has a dermal ridge. That's the 100%.
Okay. It's by the... You have the dorsal fin, and then when you go back towards the tail where that smaller fin is...
The caudal fin.
Mm-hmm. There's more of a pronounced ridge there.
Yep. If you look at them, too, their dorsal fin is much more pronounced than a bull shark. Bull shark's dorsal fin will have kind of more like a rounded look to it. Their pec fins are kind of tricky, but their dorsal fin usually gives it away, along with what he was saying.
So they're down there chasing the cow nose rays, bat rays, and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Last year, the tarpon got in there real good, kind of on that shelf, and for some reason they hadn't shown up there. They didn't stop there this year. There was a huge, huge mass of ladyfish kind of through that general area. And you could pull up there and chum up the ladyfish, and once you had the ladyfish chummed up, you know, have a couple of your clients or guys, whoever you got on the boat, catching ladyfish, and then all of a sudden the tarpon would be right there along with bull sharks and the big sandbars and all that.
Speaking of the ladyfish, I ordered some monster freshwater trout lures.
Yeah.
I mean, they look like a trout, but they're in tarpon size, 16 inch long. These things weigh a pound and a half.
And the way they swim is sick.
It's an amazing bait. And when we get one in, you'll have to test one for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're on the way.
Who's making those, Mans?
Savage. So I'm sitting there looking at them in the tank, and I'm thinking to myself, if you can get in a decent tide, whip that thing out and just hold it with the current and just kind of bump your rod every once in a while and let it work with the current, that's a fake ladyfish right there.
Absolutely.
I would take a little bit of Pro-Cure and just light touch the ladyfish Pro-Cure on it, but got them in orange and white and black, a couple other ones coming, and all the way down to like 6-8 inches, you know.
That's awesome.
Normal baits, but I got a hunch these big baits are something we have not been able to have. And you do Goliath grouper as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is going to be a great artificial bait for, you know, trying to nail those 60-pound Goliaths.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
You know, if we can get a fake bait that works on these, that would be ultimately pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So Robert and I looked at them, and we both had the same thought, tarpon, Goliath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we bought quite a bit of it. You'll notice when you come in the store right now, there's a lot of blank walls. It's because we do have the Livingston lures and more Savage, more Yozuri. We got Baker lures coming. We've got Voodoo's coming. I'm way more in debt now than I should be. Let's put it that way, guys. Yes, I'm going
to. And it looks like we've got a lot of room, but we're going to be scrambling to pack it all in.
Yeah, we're going to really be scrambling. In fact, I'm going to probably have to sacrifice the room we're in, and I'm going to have to move my stuff to the warehouse. I don't think we're going to be able to maintain it without, you know, sacrificing my little studio here. So, anyway, but back onto the fishing report. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on with the world-famous bays of turtle and bull?
I've heard of some redfish up in there, mostly out on the outer edges, not way back inside, especially out in some of those deeper sand holes. And then there's been some tarpon and some miscellaneous sharks of assorted sizes along that back stretch from that one shack in Turtle Bay heading over towards the Eagle's Nest.
Oh, you're talking about that deep cut back there.
Yeah.
Kind of goes along. When you look at, I put up a map of Turtle Bay, and you see the line come up. When you go from the entrance going up, you'll see the line curves way to the left going up along there. And that side over there, that's the deep side, and that's what's holding those larger fish. It's hard to get them down in that area closer to the mouth. They kind of go across it, but it's not deep enough for them to be comfortable, so they all go to that back section. And you'll see it on that map I put up. And coming around over from Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, right outside, we got the Cape Hayes Reef. It had a lot of mackerel on it. Have you been there lately, Brian?
I haven't fished it in the last week and a half. I was up that direction doing some grouper fishing in there and got on a good mess of good-sized mackerel, actually. You know, nothing that you needed to measure. And I actually enjoy eating mackerel as long as it's fresh. If you freeze it, you can throw it away. But if it's fresh,
I'm
it's delicious.
I think Spanish mackerel is probably the number one best-tasting fish we have here. Buttered on the grill with a little lemon pepper But that night, catch it that day, eat it that night. Yeah, if you're not going to fillet it and eat it that night, don't keep them. It's a catch and release fish. But if you're planning on coming down and saying, "Oh, I'm gonna, they're so great tasting, I'm gonna put some in a cooler and I'm gonna freeze them, take them up north," you're just gonna get cat food.
Save the time well and effort. At all. Just gets too soft,
nasty. So anyway, from Devilfish, moving out towards Devilfish, backside of Kaopalu, moving down into the tailing flats. What's going on over there?
Fair number of redfish. Nothing to write home about. Catching some decent trout through there. You know, with the mixed-in shark or bonnethead, something like that.
How about Catfish Creek and Whidden Creek out there? Heard any stories?
I haven't
too
fished.
Too hot?
It's probably too hot. I don't fish that generally this time of year.
And Robert, if you nod your head while you're on radio, nobody notices it as much.
Yeah.
Robert's going over there, Brian's talking, Robert's nodding his head. I'm like, probably no one's going to hear that. You got to say yeah or nay.
No, I agree with what he's saying, but I have heard some incidental reports around some of the little islands that are out further out in the bay. Right there around Sandfly and stuff, been holding some redfish and a few snook. You know, it's not gangbusters, but as you get closer towards the intercoastal, you're finding some other species. You know, I definitely wouldn't waste my time going up into those creeks at all.
All right, pushing on to right straight across the backside of Boca Grande, Gaspar Island.
That's been a little bit more productive. I've been hearing some better fish. We had a lot of redfish scattered over there under the bushes and just outside. There's so many little deep bays and lagoons along that whole backside.
Yeah, the docks, the canals over there. That seems to have lit up pretty good right now.
Yeah, a lot of mangroves as well all through that whole area. Even those little grass spoils down there where the bait gets just loaded with mangroves.
All right, now coming up around Placida, anybody got anything for Placida?
Not too much. Last week, the beginning part of last week on that good outgoing tide, there were still quite a few tarpon around in that area. We had some fair success, but as far as from like a snook and redfish, I haven't really done too much of that up that way.
The early morning bite's been really good at the trestles themselves for mangrove snapper and snook. But once it gets into the middle of the day, it's primarily been an incidental Spanish mackerel, some small sharks, an oddball pompano. It's not gangbusters, but it's consistent. There has been a few big bull reds coming through there at night with some bigger sharks and tarpon when you're not there night fishing. And then the really big snook has still been cooperating there at night. But, you know, majority of the better action for your fish has been at nightfall. You know, and then once you kind of come out of there and work your way up, I'd say, you know, working your way up towards Lemon Bay.
See how he is? I don't answer right away. He tries to steal the only part of this job I have, moving from place
to
place.
You were trying to multitask, you know, and you were slacking. That dead air time kills it. It's like a commercial.
So
time
useful,
to change your channel.
You know? Yeah, I feel so useless here. Yeah, and I'm sitting there, I'm trying to do a good job, and thinking, you know, that I'm doing a good job, and then I just get crushed. So,
sorry,
going up along,
I digress.
You know,
Frank, where should we go to next?
Not many people fish the Palm Island Ferry thing there, but I think still a few people walk up and fish. Any reports going up there till we get before we get to Lemon Bay?
The Palm Island Ferry and all those docks right now are loaded with snook. I mean, daytime and at night, there's been a whole lot of snook around all those docks there. Mangrove snapper has been good. A few big bull reds coming through at night. I've been hearing some reports of some couple schools of big reds coming in and out of the passes the last week and a half. And I think that's where some of those fish are moving into, is around those docks and right just along the edge of the intercoastal close to the passes.
Okay, now, drum roll, please. Wow, I even got a drum roll, man. I'm feeling
How was
so
that?
Special.
Was that good?
I'm almost to the point I want to feel pretty today. I mean, this is cool. All right, Lemon Bay. Lemon Bay, the land of, I don't know, this is, what's up there?
Isn't their mascot like the manta rays or something like that?
I don't know.
Something like that.
You grew up here. I'm one of the...
I went to the good school, the Tarpons.
I'm one of those, you know, GD Yankees. I came down to stay,
The docks up there along the intercoastal have been holding some redfish and a whole lot of snook. Been some mangrove snapper on them. As you get closer to the stump pass, that's when it really starts to change up with a whole lot of varieties of fish. Spanish mackerel, a few small assorted sized sharks, some incidental tarpon, lots and lots of snook. I mean, the snook are staged up in there, up and down, on the inside through the pass and out along the beach there. A few jackspins still coming through there. An oddball flounder, an oddball pompano, kind of a mixed variety, you know, and all this fresh water is starting to really push some stuff through there, so it's getting a lot of the bait fish even active in there. Glass minnows, some scaled sardines, even been some finger mullet moving around through there from what I've been hearing.
All right. You know, I went on a rant earlier about no motor, trolling motor push pole zones. They're actually putting one in for mitigation for digging out the one of the creeks up there to help with the tarpon. So they've got, like, I don't know, 30 acres or something they're going to put a zone in. And so that'll be kind of cool to watch and see what happens there.
Yeah.
If it actually works or not. But as long as it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and you got a lot of water flow coming by it, I don't think it'll be too bad. But coming around out towards Stump Pass and hitting the beaches... Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think we can actually give a beach fishing report right now.
No.
The wind's just been unfishable out there.
It looks like chocolate milk, and it's good if you want to body surf.
Yeah. Now, Brian, you do offshore charters. You run out in the Gulf and do a lot of fishing trips in the Gulf.
The last week and a half, it's been, like, near impossible to get out there and, you know, stretch out to any length. I think 2 weeks ago today, we had some good weather and got out there. Like that 80 to 90 foot stuff, and the red grouper was just phenomenal. I mean, I had 6 people, 5 kids and 1 dad, and I didn't even have to anchor. I mean, it was just flat calm right before all this crummy weather, flat calm, and it was as fast as you could get a bait, dead or alive, to the bottom, you had one on. You know, a lot of the fish were in the, like, 18 to 25 range. We had a couple of, you know, 12 to 15 pounders, but the majority of them were right there, good keeper, solid fish, and nothing super small, you know. So the kids had a blast. Tons of barracuda out there on any of the, you know, public numbers. This time of year they just get littered with cudas. So once we did good on the red grouper, we just threw out some tube lures, trolled up some cudas. And that always
just
makes...
Just went for some fun fish.
Yeah, just, you know, line stretching, and that always makes a great bait for the Goliath, too. So we let the kids have fun and then donated one of the cudas to a Goliath grouper for the dad. So he was a hero at the end of the day.
Yeah. 100 pound, 200 pounds?
We ended up getting one that was probably 250.
Nice fish.
Yeah, real nice fish. You know, that 5-foot long range.
Wow. It's kind of great when a plan comes together.
It is. That was one of those days where just everything kind of fell into place.
Because you do a lot of charters in the Gulf and you book so much, what's your feeling now? The water temp has dropped. We're actually below normal. The cloud cover, the rain, it's all doing its job. It's dropping our temperatures. We've had, you know, this magic umbrella of cloud cover and rain right when we really needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I would really appreciate, you know, it to go away so I can make a little money. I mean,
right.
Running in the hole is not exactly what I like doing, but I'd prefer to be making some money. But I think this is going to be an amazing effect for over the next few weeks. If it stops raining for a little while, I think the Gulf temp dropping like it did, the harbor temp down 15, 20 degrees, is going to just be spectacular.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when the water gets too hot, it's just exactly that. It's too hot. You know, it's hard to keep your bait alive. Fish get kind of lethargic, and they don't like it. You know, if they can stay around the 80s, if that's possible, even like mid-80s this time
of
year.
Anything under 85 is good.
Yeah.
It's got to be under 85. Above 60 and under 85 is pretty much optimal. So I'm thinking, as bad as this has been, it came right when we needed it.
Yeah.
It was getting too hot. It was going to cause a lot of problems, a lot of fish kills. We were going to see some major problems down here in Southwest Florida, and we had just this magic horrific rains come. You know, I mean, it's been horrible for business, but great for the fish. So yeah. I'm gonna forgive being a little broke for a while, and
right.
You know, just
it'll all even out,
evening out for the fish. So going on back in, let's do the passes. So let's talk about Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva. I know I'm missing one down
Boca.
There. Boca. Let's see, Ponderosa, Captiva.
That big one.
Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva, Boca, Gasparilla, and Stump. Let's start with Stump Pass and go south.
Stump's
Venice
been.
Inlet. Let's do Venice Inlet and then do Stump.
Venice is loaded with some really good mangrove snapper and some really big snook right now, especially at night. Daytime's been sporadic with some Spanish mackerel, some jacks, always a lot of little mangrove snapper, but if you want those bigger mangrove snapper and the snook that are cruising through there, nighttime is the key thing. And there again, big reds have been moving in and out through there too, like 30-plus inches.
Cool. Brian, you got anything for Little Gasparilla?
Little Gasparilla Pass was loaded with tarpon. That would not bite. That was always fun to go in there and drift, but they've since kind
just
of...
Just what everybody wants here. This place is loaded with fish, but you can't catch any.
Yeah, they are on a different program there for a while. There's a pile of small snook in there, obviously with the big ones mixed in. With the new bridge that they've done, it's much deeper through there. Seems to be holding some huge jacks, just massive amounts of them. I know through like May, June, right. End of July, you'd pull up there and, you know, drag a thready by because you'd see a tarpon roll and you'd have a 15-pound jack on and 20 of them behind it. You know, it was pretty cool.
So going down to Boca Grande Pass, let's do a split thing. Robert, you first.
Mangrove snapper bite's still been pretty consistent. Not a lot of guys have been fishing it because the tides have been pretty screwy and the wind has been really humping in through there. But the south side of the pass and like that 35 to 38 feet of water has been good for them.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you got anything you can add to that?
Yeah, it's staying pretty consistent with the other two passes that we spoke about, you know, small snook.
No, don't get ahead of me here. I'm trying to be organized for once. I'm trying to do this in a pattern. So, Boca Grande Pass, more or less? Come on.
Equal. We'll say equal.
Equal. So what else is in there? We got snappers on the south side and at 30, 38 feet. Anything
yeah,
else to add?
That's been good. Wednesday, Thursday, in the afternoons on the outgoing tide, there was still a little bit of a crab flush going on. And plenty of tarpon to catch one. We had good success there from like 4 to 7 cool. On Wednesday and Thursday of last week.
Now going down to Captiva, Robert, what you got Captiva?
Been some gags in there. Hearing of a few gags, still some good mangrove snapper in the snook on both the north side and the south side along the edge there. Been really, really impressive. A lot of little guys during the daytime, but not evening right before sunset and right before sunrise, been some nice 15 to 20 pound fish cruising along the surf.
All right, that's the peanut butter. Brian, what do you got for jelly?
Pretty accurate. Seems to be more redfish in that pass this time of year than the others that we've spoken about. I don't really have an answer as to why that is. Maybe it's closer to Pine Island Sound. Maybe they're moving in and out of there more than just moving into the bay.
We don't make the news. We just report
news. I got no answer as to why, but it seems to be
more. It does hold bigger redfish. I have noticed that. I mean, he's making a good point. Those bigger bull reds seem to move in and out of that pass a lot more daytime and nighttime versus like Boca. You seem to hear about them as side catches at night with the snook fishermen versus during the day. You almost never see anyone catch one, but down in Captiva, you see guys catch them fairly regularly throughout the day.
So going down to Redfish Pass, is this snook thing still going on down there with the snook drift?
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting line. It's been better. It seems to be better this year on the north side than it has in the years past. You know, usually get on the seawall there at South Seas and kind of drift from the T-dock. Bring a lot of lead, bring a lot of hooks. If you get everybody that comes in your store to go fish there, you'd be successful because you're good to hang up at least one rod pretty much every drift in that pass.
So the one thing, though, is keep in mind, boys and girls, go to Redfish Pass and have fun. But if you haven't been there before, stop when you get there and watch what's going on. This is not a place where you're going to do what you want to do. Do what everybody else does or don't. Go.
Right.
It's very nice. It's very organized. It's a really cool pattern of drifting and catching, but it is a rhythm and a pattern.
Right.
And it does not need somebody coming down there who wants to do their own thing.
Try to recreate the wheel.
Yeah, you're not going to reinvent the wheel there. You'll get a lot of sinkers thrown at you, and it's just not worth the hassle. But go down there, stop, watch, see what's going on, and join the fun and join the rhythm, and everybody will have a good time. But just giving you the idea, this is something you need to go and learn, not something you're just going to go and do. So be prepared to watch, give it a chance, see what's going on, and then join in. And but this is not a one-man band show. This is a group thing. There's a lot of people, a lot of boats, but it's fun, it's organized, and it's very cool if everybody, you know, watches out for everybody else. Everybody gives everybody a little room. It works good. Going down to Ponarasa, what's going on down Ponarasa?
Ponarasa, all I've been hearing about, honestly, is the docks right there just to the north of the boat ramp, holding some good snook, and then the little islands right there have been holding a few small trout and a lot of redfish. But I haven't had a good, accurate report probably in, honestly, about a week.
Okay. Brian, anything to add from around Ponarasa?
It's out of my realm.
All right. Caloosahatchee, anybody heard anything?
No.
I would imagine this time of year with that amount of fresh water coming through there, snook fishing's got to be good down there. I've done it in the years past, just haven't here recently, so I could make something up for you if you'd like.
Maybe I'll call Matt and see if Matt's been down there.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some phone calls today. We're going to try and get back on a rhythm with radio fishing. I had to take a little bit of time off, but I'm back. So, feeling a little better. Leaving Ponarasa, coming north, St. James City, the flats there behind Sanibel, Pine Island Sound. What's going on down in that area?
A lot of mangroves, like I said earlier, on the little grass spoils down through there. Seems to be a fair number of redfish kind of scattered through the woods, along with a lot of small snook back in there. Still, most of the bigger fish seem to be closer to the passes.
Anything?
I've heard of some Spanish mackerel and some small sharks and an occasional trout out there in like those deeper sand holes in some of those troughs, but nothing super consistent.
Okay, let's work our way up around Matt Lachey. Anybody heard anything on Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey's been pretty decent as far as from a redfish standpoint. Again, just on that higher water, fishing the bushes, those points and little creeks that come through there. There's a good amount of white bait down through there. It's actually starting to get some decent size to it where you can actually cast it, so be looking for that. I'm sure there's plenty of snapper as well mixed in with that bait there. I just haven't tried it.
Cool. Now, from Two Pines, anything around Two Pines, Bernstor?
Yeah, that's getting a little bit more in your backyard. I'm sure you've been hearing some better reports.
Yeah, the snook fishing's great. You know, a lot of fish that 16 to like 22, 23 range, those little males, but good numbers. I mean, every island you pull up to, if you got a well full of live bait, you got a good chance at catching a good number of fish.
All right. Well, Robert, I'm going to drift off to the side there and catch into Jug Creek, Boquilla, that area around there. Anything going on?
I've been hearing some better reports of some bait fish over there. Not giant, but getting at least cast nettable. There's been some trout and Spanish mackerel out there on those little sandbars right that are out in front of Boquilla.
Yeah, the sunken islands.
Lot of pinfish down there. The pinfish are finally getting to some size where you can actually cast net those and cast them.
I know that because everybody and their brother wants to, I'm going to go out and catch pinfish. Can I sell them to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that time of year.
Yeah, because their pinfish are everywhere. In a month, everybody's going to be gone again from the business because they're here and then they're gone, then they're here and they're gone. But when they're here, everybody wants to do it. No, you have to have a commercial fishing license to do that. You must have a wholesale license to do that. You have to have both of those, or if you just get a saltwater products license, you're only allowed to sell to a wholesale fish house. You cannot sell to bait shops. You cannot sell to the public. You have to have a catching license, has to go to a wholesale license, and the wholesale license has to make a monthly report to the state on what was bought and sold.
Yep.
And then it has to go to a retail license after that. So there's a three-stage license period to go on to get into the commercial fishing business.
But there's so much money to be made on pinfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was sitting here thinking.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to make my paycheck. By the time you pay the gas and spend your time, you're better off, you know, get a job somewhere. So anyway, getting back onto that, coming up north, we've got Pirate Harbor, the east side.
Redfish are scattered all over the place. I'm getting some mixed reports of redfish and a lot of the little chicken snook. Pirate Harbor is loaded with a lot of juvenile tarpon.
We give him a drum roll, now he's a chicken. Jeez.
I couldn't resist. I mean, chicken snook?
What was that joke I just read the other day? Why'd the chicken cross the road? To show the armadillo that it could be done.
Okay.
Thought that was cute.
We're getting delirious in here.
That's about the only clean joke I know, for crying out loud. Come on.
How do you tell if there's been an elephant in the refrigerator?
I don't know.
By the footprints in the peanut butter.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, hey, we're going that way. Might as well go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on the east side, I've been catching. One thing I can do here is out next to the sandbar, in those little troughs and dimples along the backside of the sandbar, had some nice redfish in the morning. As the sun's coming up, they seem to push more towards the shade. Look for green bushes, green leaves, and green means go. Go fishing there, because the greener, leafier the branches are, the more shade it is, and the more likely it is to be holding redfish. So if you've got an island and you're seeing a lot of hurricane damage along the island, and then you got one big green leafy mangrove, that's the one to go to. Coming up in the PGI.
Wait a minute.
What?
With these flood tides, because it's been a blue moon on top of these predominant west winds, the tides have been super high.
What is a blue moon here, guys?
I think it's a drink. It's got vodka. And
that's so my favorite one, but okay. The actual definition of blue moon.
Two full moons in the same month.
Oh, God. I hate it when he does that.
They're about 3 years apart, yeah, on average.
Yeah, 2.7
boom,
years apart.
That was...
God, it's just... The actual true original thing was when two moons in the same month in a summer solstice. But the... Robert is absolutely correct, too, and it only happens every few years.
You steal your fire there, Robert. You see that?
The moon orbits, what, on 29 days?
Something like that.
And a lot of months have 30 and 31 days, so eventually it catches up, so there's two full moons in a month.
Yeah.
So anyway, going ahead, and where were we? Flood tides.
Yeah, it's making for some exceptionally strong tides on top of the west wind with this pressure sitting over us, the high pressure above us and the high pressure below us, and we're kind of stuck right in the center of it. There's been some tarpon moving in right on the edge of the bar, even some onto the flats over there. And that side is always a little higher salinity because, like you were talking about earlier, with the natural flow of the Peace River, Myakka River, and then Boca Grande Pass pushes right up that side. So that east side is usually a little bit more consistent with food, mixture, the freshwater, saltwater, so you get the plankton and all that stuff. So it's just a good feeding zone in general. So keep an eye out in that like 4 to 8 feet of water range right along the edge of the bar and look for those tarpon and even some cobia or some oddball sharks.
So basically, I guess what it's boiling down to is there's some pretty good fishing to be had out there.
Yeah. Yeah, the east side's usually a pretty darn steady thing to fish this time of year.
So let's see, what else? Where are we at now? Alligator Creek?
Yep. Yeah, Alligator Creek, PGI, Whore Point, all that area. You been up there at all?
No, I hadn't. I'm sure it's holding good amounts of redfish, and all those little snooks should be scattered down through there. But I honestly can't.
I was holding a good gill netter there the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand making money, but I mean, You know, is it really worth it?
No.
You know, I know we all gotta, you know, got our wants and needs and all that other stuff, but it just doesn't, you know. I know some of the guys say, well, you know, you can do it, you know, so long and then before you get caught and then, you know, you've made all the extra money, but, you know, to me it just doesn't seem worth it.
No.
You know, it's like the guys sitting there and they keep snook out of season or keep a Goliath grouper. Oh, I deserve this. Well, yeah, you kind of deserve it if you get caught.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's a reason for all this stuff. And I lived and was in business before the net ban came in. There was not two boats a month fish north of Pirate Harbor. There was no fish. Literally nothing to fish for up on the Peace River, the Myakka River. You could find some fish in the cutoff or some of the creeks. But what we take for granted, the mackerel and all the fish that, you know, are all up in here now, they were not here. They were just gone. The redfish. You could fish for 2-3 weeks and not find a redfish. And if we fish for a day or two and don't hit a red, everybody's panicking.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, I mean, I knew people who fished for months and never saw a redfish.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. The net ban was a huge issue to the way we have now. And you making a living as a charter boat captain, us making a living off selling tackle. You know, and people say, well, you know, it's somebody's job. But did they go out to the payphone and drop a dime in to call you, or did they pick up their cell phone?
Right.
How many of them go out there with a steam-powered boat?
Yep.
You know, if are you throwing wood into the boiler on the boat to put along the harbor and catch your fish, or are you using a gas, you know, fuel-injected outboard? Times change.
Yep, absolutely. You
know? And one day, times will change, and I won't have a job. But, you know, that's just the way things go. So, anyway, getting back into it, we have PGI and the PGI Canal. Tom Stallion, Robert's going to bark his way into succession. That guy coughs harder than anybody I've ever been around. I mean, I usually have to plug my ears. It's the most
violent. Violent.
No. Yes. You
get it out.
I guess. So, PGI, lots of mangrove snappers, few sheephead, occasionally some nice drum being caught there. Getting up inside. Have you been through ponds going up into PGI?
Don Coyote Basin, as far as I've been up in there, that's the main basin when you come through the rocks.
What I'm wondering about, have you noticed your depth finder going through there?
I hadn't really paid too much attention.
Next time
to
you go through, what I'm interested in is finding out what the shallowest part of it is. When you go through ponds, through the canal and through the lake, I know ponds maintains about 8-9 feet.
Uh-huh.
But does the lake maintain that same area?
I don't have an answer for that. I'll have to look next time I'm in there. You're talking about the stretch between
the mangroves and the rocks.
Yeah.
In that lake area there.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what the depth is in there.
Last time I noticed, I would say it's like 5 to 7 feet in the channel through there.
That's what I was thinking. I know ponds where the mangroves are, they keep that deep, but I don't know if they keep that section from the rocks over to the mangroves as cut as they do the mangrove section.
Something to look for.
Anything going on back in the PGI Canal?
That's my homework, my Frank homework.
A lot of juvenile tarpon.
A lot of
juvenile tarpon back in there. Back towards along the Rim Canal. And then also the turnaround basin just north of Colony Point. And then Bass Inlet, you know, basically those three main canals have got a ton of juvenile tarpon from, you know, literally 5 pounds to, what, 20, 25 pounds on average.
Fun, lots of fun.
Yeah, yeah, been some good fish back in there. Still a few snook in there, some jacks, and the occasional black drum. That's about it.
Yeah, anything to add to that, Captain Brian Ball?
No, he's pretty accurate. He usually is. Pirate Harbor also is holding tons of the smaller tarpon. If you're down that way, they're basically in the main part of the basin. As long as you got some moving tide in there, go in there and chum them up. They're fun. Most of those fish are like 15 to 30 pounds.
Now, one question I do have is out by Alligator Creek Reef. Anybody heard about anything from the reef lately?
No, I haven't messed with it. I would think there would be some cobia up around that. There should be tons of bait this time of year, usually there's acres and acres of thread fins and glass minnows and whatnot out there through the holes.
Yeah, the only thing I've heard of really honestly out there has been the catfish, a few oddball Spanish mackerel, and an oddball little black tip. But I haven't heard anything as far as the snapper goes or cobia or anything else like that, even though they should be there.
So, anyway, did we forget anything, guys?
No, the 20-foot holes.
Okay. Breakfast? Oh, sorry.
No, I'll buy breakfast. You know, you did this, so I'll buy breakfast. What's going on in the holes in the harbor?
All the catfish you want.
Oh, my God.
Is that pretty accurate?
What do you do when you're tarpon fishing and all you can catch is catfish? You tarpon fish with catfish.
Exactly.
It's really, honestly, it's the only option up there right now. Unless you pull up and they're just going crazy gangbusters. If you have to leave a bait in the water for more than 30 seconds before it gets eaten, you better have something dead on the bottom and big.
Yeah, big silver trout are working. Bigger ladyfish, if you can get them, are working. You know, thread fins are working, but they're getting destroyed by every catfish you pretty much throw out there.
Yeah, if Frank had his tournament right now, you could definitely win the catfish division out there.
Yeah, you'd be weighing in a lot of catfish because there's some big ones out there. There's a mixed variety this year. Usually it's pretty heavy with the sail cats, but this year you're seeing a lot of hardheads mixed in with them, too.
Yep.
Kind of strange.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of on board with all that. But I'm hearing lots of sharks, still a lot of sharks, bunches of tarpon along the east side of the harbor, out through the deep holes, tons of catfish, a few Spanish mackerel. One thing we didn't talk about, nobody talked about this time, but we've been hearing it all in all, is the sea trout. What happened with the sea trout?
They kind of disappeared this past week. I don't know if it's because of all the fresh water flushing out or what, but I haven't really had many reports on sea trout. I've been getting more silver trout reports with the guys fishing out there in the little deeper water.
The only consistent trout bite that I've had has been inside of Captiva and Redfish Pass, just kind of while I'm in there catching the snapper off the grass lumps. You'll catch, you know, the occasional keeper, but most of them are, you know, that 10 to 12 stuff, just tiny, that hardly bend your pole. No big concentration of big keeper trout that I've found.
So, well, anyway, it was just something because I've heard so much about trout. Big schools of black drum going through the canals in Port Charlotte, PGI, and in the middle of the harbor yet. And if you see them up by the surface, watch close in the water. See if the water's a darker brown color, because if there is, get your baits on the bottom. Those are the ones feeding, grubbing the bottom. It's like a sand cloud moving through the water.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, anybody heard anything about triple tail?
Well, I have not heard anything in 10 days.
I was going to say, I know this is 2 weeks ago. I was talking to a crabber buddy of mine. He was up there between 41 and 75 pulling traps through there for blue crabs, and they were, you know, not thick, but there was enough. You know, I think one day he brought his son with him and they caught three or four, you know, just off of his traps, running his trap lines. They go to pull them. Oh, look, there's one. Pitch a shrimp to it.
Yeah, because trout and triple fish, or triple tails, I've been hearing a lot about. And all of a sudden, today, listening to the report you guys are giving, there was something not mentioned.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of curious what had happened with that. This is Fish and Frank, and thank you for listening to Radio Fishing. We've got Robert, our walking encyclopedia, who once again bumped me out of having a cool moment.
Blue moon.
Knew everything.
Next time I'll just sit there and go, no, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, right. Don't you dare. let's see. Captain Brian Ball. Now, Brian, you do inshore.
You are the star guy, though, when it comes to all that moon and celestial stuff. You're pretty sharp with that.
No, I'm good at disaster stuff. You want to know how the world's going to end, just ask me. Brian, you do inshore and offshore
And everything in between.
If
it swims, we try to catch it.
Tell me a little bit about it. You got a couple different boats you work with.
Yep. I have a 24-foot thread fin that I use for most of my bay fishing and backwater stuff. I have a boat that I run in the winter.
Now, the thread fin, when you're on it, do you have a special set of reins that you keep on and a couple of saddles to hold your customers? It's one big thread fin here.
Yeah, one big thread fin. No, that boat's, it's state of the art, man. It doesn't get any nicer than that. I love that thing. It's got that stepped hull design. It's the same hull as Avenger that's been around forever out of Tampa. Super awesome platform, you know, four people can fish off of it, real comfortable, great ride, dry. It's just an awesome boat.
Do you have pictures of it on your website?
I don't. There's tons of pictures on, if you click on my website and then go to my Facebook page, you'll find tons of pictures of it on there. I'm a lot more up to date on the Facebook stuff than I am on up to date on my website.
If you click this picture here, it's Brian holding the two redfish. And that'll take you to his website, and then you can go over. I'll try and put a link onto his Facebook page here by this. Theoretically, I can figure out how to do this. So I'll add a little logo for Brian, and that should take you to his Facebook thing. Now, offshore, what are you doing in the offshore stuff?
This time of year, the red grouper bite is phenomenal. You know, you're not having to go past 100 foot, and then the boat that I'm running, it's a 36-foot twin-engine yellowfin. It's fast. It's dry. I mean, it's a Cadillac. It's none of that steaming out there at 15 mile an hour, you know, leaving the dock at 4 in the morning. I don't have to deal with that. Burn a little bit more fuel, but as far as from, like, a fishing standpoint and being able to cover ground and, you know, keeping everybody safe and happy, it's a bad ride. It's awesome.
Very cool. So, anyway, that's Captain Brian Ball. For those of us internet challenged, what's your phone number?
My phone number is 941-815-1758.
941-815-1758. And that is Captain Brian Ball. And thank you so much for joining Robert and I on Radio Fishing here this morning and help fill in our fishing report. Anything you want to add, Robert?
Nope. Be dry and be safe.
Okay.
Stay inside.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that today. I think that's probably not a bad idea, but a little exit music, exit stage left, boys and girls. We are going to be doing regular radio fishings, more phone broadcast. You know, Frank's over his little nervous breakdown. Yes, I'm speaking to myself in the third party. I'm still a little off.
How's that nervous breakdown?
Yeah. I get the IRS.
If I'm me and you're you.
If I'm me and you're you, and we're the same person. So, anyway, once everything's kind of cleaned up, we're getting good. We got a lot of new products coming. Everything's kind of looking up. And getting ready for a whole new season here at Fishing Franks, and looking forward to seeing you guys. The tent sale is on for March 19th. Bigger, cooler, badder than ever. You'll be able to meet Captain Brian Ball there Saturday, March 19th. He will be working the show as well. So we'll see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.